Welcome again. So here we are, the mystery, always aware of itself in other forms and functions, calling them sensations or emotions or experiences or people or nature, life aware of itself. So the great promise is ultimate freedom, a kinesthetic, rooted freedom, which we could say is really just a return to our naturalness, to our unconditioned naturalness as life itself. Life already is all welcoming, just as we are already that, in the background of our being, behind the scenes, so to speak, is a constancy. It's rooted, it's ever the same, always here, and yet it delights in uniqueness, in the comings and goings, with occasional not liking something. That's also natural. So we gather together to stabilize what we know is true. To let the body-mind also return back to its naturalness as pure presence, as life, as spaceless space. And we honor and listen within to that remarkable, measureless wisdom. So what are you noticing? What is coming to sit with you? What is delighting you? So to unmute yourself, you just press *6, and then when it feels complete, *6 again.
Hey, Pamela, this is Mary.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Gratitude is sitting with me more, and it's so lovely because I have trouble resting. And if the gratitude comes first, then I can rest.
Ah. I like that.
You do. Thank you.
That's it. A very succinct satsang from you, my dear.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yes, I have a feeling that gratitude and grace probably have the same root in terms of words and language. And of course, everything has the same root.
Hello, Pamela. This is Lawrence.
Good morning.
I will second what Mary said about gratitude, and I enjoy that also. There is also this experience that there is not just that, there is everything. And sometimes I don't like certain parts of everything. there are periods when the physical mind just decides it wants to put on a little horror show.
Oh, goodness.
So, you know, I'll wake up it's usually in the early morning. And, I mean, I see it happening, but I wake up, you know, maybe yesterday there was actually a bad dream, like a nightmare, not a nightmare, but an anxiety dream, which I hadn't had one of those in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But that was like a sort of an unwelcome visit. And, you know, there are times when, you know, we watch something on TV, like this thing about Henry VIII. So I wake up to visions of beheadings and, you know, persecutions and wars.
Yeah, so the mind is replaying.
Replaying, yeah. And I mean, I know that this is all part of the whole, it's all part of life, but still I don't like it.
Well, the replaying function in the mind is something that you don't need. And the mind doesn't need to do that. You know, the mind has this innocent misunderstanding that it needs to maintain tension to survive, to keep awareness aware. So one of the ways it does that is through replaying, reviewing. So, you know, you have that wonderful firmness in yourself as consciousness, and you can just, I would nip it in the bud before it goes through the whole rerun.
Well, I do that, and, you know, I do experience myself as just being, you know, spacious space, and I see all of these things come and then they go, and, you know, still I don't like the nasty parts. And
well, the mind is your student, and if you had a student that was regularly falling into suffering,
yes,
you would possibly intervene. Yeah. So I would suggest maybe a satsang with the mind where you ask it why it goes into reviewing things it doesn't like.
Well, I do that, and it, from what I can see, it has to do with protection, just warning, you know, we want to survive, we don't want any of this bad stuff to happen again, you know, let's be safe, you know, stay home, stay safe. That sort of thing. Old reptilian.
Don't time travel back. Yeah.
Yes, it's old.
Yeah, but once again, the mind is calling you forth into your bigness. Because it'll test the sage during the unfoldment to see if it can run trips on you.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, and it's actually a blessing, that weird function in the mind, because finally we rise up in our firm clarity and no-nonsense sageness and just be tough with it.
Yes.
Because it doesn't want a soft Dharma talk.
No.
It wants you to get really big, so it can get small and relaxed and open and then go vast.
The thing is that I do the satsang with it. I ask it what it's trying to show me. I sit with it, and it subsides, but it's persistent, and then it comes back again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after a while. I mean, not all the time, but there are periods of maybe a week or so where it just becomes persistent and it keeps coming back even after doing the satsang.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll be still, there'll be the nice stillness for a while, and then a few hours later it comes back with another little horror show.
Well, basically it's bringing you its remaining trauma.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. Yeah.
Yeah. But be Lao Tzu's kind-hearted grandfather, but also be firm.
Yeah, maybe I'm being just too kind of airy-fairy with it.
Well, no, you know, there's a beautiful balance.
Yeah.
So just check it out. You know, even the word hush.
Yes.
Enough now with firm love does the trick.
Yes.
But then we have to get to its root misunderstanding, because it's seeking relief through reviewing, replaying, trying to seek resolution, trying to comfort itself. You know, anyhow.
It feels as though it's looking for an answer where no answer is to be found in the story. it keeps reviewing these stories and
yes.
looking for a solution where there is no solution, because the story is just a story.
Yeah, but it's also seeking the ultimate resolution, solution, which is for even the mind to come out of its role.
Yes.
So the only rooted resolution is when the mind knows itself as having no history and...
Ah, yes.
Yeah. So that's what it's looking. It keeps bothering you until it's fully satisfied.
Yes, that's true. I mean, fortunately, it's a lot less than it used to be.
Very good, yes. And we can honor the mind for that. It is unwinding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Good, good.
All right. Well, thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, dear.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hi, Pamela. It's Joan.
Ah, Joan. Welcome.
I'm very interested in what you just said about the mind having no history.
Something likes that.
Say again?
Something likes that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, natural mind has no history. Because, you know, role play has history.
Yes.
Yeah. So the true nature of the body mind and, of course, as presence is there's no history. It's untouched by circumstance, the past. The great sutra is no trace, no trace.
No trace, right.
So when you bow to the mind, just bow to the mind, because one of its functions is historian, besides replaying and reviewing, as Lawrence said, for survival reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just bowing to the mind, to its essence rather than its form and function.
Well, how very yummy is that?
Mmm.
Okay, thank you.
Ooh, that was quick.
Yeah, I just wanted a little more.
Oh, I know, the mind likes that, because that's...
Yeah, the mind likes it. It's like a full meal instead of just sugary dessert.
Oh, nicely said.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, thanks, dear.
Okay, thank you. Yes, mind sometimes is cast as the villain in the spiritual melodrama, so to speak, or drama. And the mind is actually neutral. It's devotional. It has an immeasurable intelligence. And it also is playing a role, so it's playing the protective role besides its natural, practical, creative intelligence. But it's no longer satisfied by its protective role. So it also has a restless longing or seeking to return back to its pure intelligence with no past, no limitation, no, oddly enough, no thought. None of that restless thinking to maintain enough tension, to maintain enough existence, so it doesn't get sucked into non-existence, never to be seen again. Well, here it's just resting and soaring, sparkling, pure potentiality, natural mind. What a surprise. The villain is divine.
Hi, Pamela. How are you? It's Rosie.
Rosie.
Hi.
Hi, dear.
I'm very interested. This is seems to be my subject over and over, the reviewing and the mind and all of this. So, you know, it happens like with Lawrence, I'm sleeping. And that's when I have most of my trouble with the nightmares and the images. And what I'm getting from you mostly is you keep, when it happens, you just question, like you allow the mind to show what it wants and over, and then eventually it will just stop. Is that?
Well, it's seeking release in the dreams. It's kind of trying to clarify itself in the dreams. And it's,
yeah, because I'm sleeping. So.
Yeah, and there's trauma that's getting clarified, and the only problem with oneness is there's also one mind, so it's clarifying group trauma as well.
Yeah, right. I understand. That's what I'm understanding lately. Like, it's not just mine.
No. So it's more, it's seeking resolution to suffering. So the mind is also benevolent. So even though it, through the screenwriting and the role play, maintained eons of suffering, it's now in a mood to end suffering. You know?
I understand. But it's like it's hurting me. And I can't.
But we
want
to
show
it. It doesn't have to see. Its misunderstanding is that the resolution has to be in experience, even a kinesthetic thing. So it's using the dreams to kind of balance, but it's getting itself all tied up in knots.
Right, because it's like a world of imagery that I honestly don't even know what that reality is.
Yes.
I want to be here. I want to be present. And even if I'm sleeping, it'd be nice to be calm.
So ask the mind if it can notice it's trying to liberate suffering in everyone. Ask the mind if it notices that.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
There's no doubt.
The mind itself is satisfied with the experience of suffering and is now looking for a way out. So ask it if it can notice it's trying to do it in form, meaning in the world or even in the form of imagination and dream.
Yeah, it's like a pinhole.
Shrinking.
It's tight. Yes, it's feeling of like I'm shrinking. I'm also shrinking in it.
Okay. So ask it if it notices it's not working.
It's an overwhelm. Too many images. Too many things.
Yeah, so Maharishi Mahesh Yogi once called his meditators washing machines for the group consciousness. So the mind is kind of in that washing machine thing. But then it spins and...
And then it's like a lost valley.
Yeah, it gets lost and overwhelmed. So
bow
to that its heart is on its return, and it wants to clarify all suffering. We're just taking a moment to pause and honor that.
Yeah, I know what's happening now. There's an avoidance of the grief and the sadness.
Bear witness to that bowing to that natural regret, the grief, the sorrow.
And just let the mind know it doesn't have to pass through the valleys of the shadow of death and sorrow. It's almost like it's doing that. Almost as if it feels biblically it needs to do that.
Right.
And invite it to notice it can come home without doing any of that. Just inviting it to consider that that's a possibility.
Yeah. I could have compassion and be here and not have to feel it or see it. And, you know, enough.
That's right. It doesn't have to review all of it to liberate it.
Yeah, and my heart.
The resolution is in everything returning back to its naturalness.
That's where I get a little confused, because I've only have had moments of that. So I get trapped in the awakening, naturalness, and all of the
So don't touch any of the words. We're just inviting it to notice that resolution is already here. Ultimate resolution, ultimate freedom is already here in the essence of everything. The essence of mind, the essence of sorrow, the essence of suffering. It's already here, the resolution. And it can just rest back into that. Already here, already balanced, already with no past or suffering.
It's so odd, because I hear you, and I somewhat understand, but it seems like I'm here, and the possibility of no history is somewhere over there.
That's all right. Maybe it's because history, the history of humanity, is here. And we have to show it its true nature first, or suffering itself, or the past. So we can't sometimes leapfrog over whoever is sitting in the front row with their hand up.
Right, exactly. So
who is that? Who's the one that is really ripe for knowing who they are? Who is it? Is it suffering, or is it... Which one?
No, it's just, it's me.
Yeah, the me. Yeah, so ask the me before you were me and even I am-ness. Who are you?
There's just like a... Just a being, like... That's where I come up. There's like nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
But we want to have it notice that it's still here. So for this one over here, it was a little worried about non-existence. So it would cling to me-ness or being-ness. Because the other was scary. But no thing is its unadorned naturalness. Can it check that out? Because sometimes it has an aversion to nothing. No thing. It has an idea about that.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm okay with nothing, because I'm actually tired of keeping up with
up. Yeah.
What happens is then I'm like, well, what am I going to do?
Okay, so you're not doing that. That's the mind kicking in. If there's no one to protect, if there's no one here,
uh-huh, yeah.
What am I going to do? Ask it if doing is its greatest pleasure or if it would like to also be and soar.
Yeah, it would be lovely, but I don't trust.
That's all right. Now, it doesn't have to trust, because otherwise it would have to run a case study on that.
Because it's all abstract, and I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, so ask it just to look into its essence.
Yes.
Take its attention off you as pure being, and look into itself now, because it's been on guard duty.
The mind?
Yeah. So we're asking the mind, who are you? And it doesn't have to get anything right or know anything or change anything.
Yeah, there's like a bunch of wild answers now. It's unraveling, I guess. I'm not sure.
But that's
I don't
want to
repeat something just because I hear it.
Yeah, but just yes, yes, yes. You're all of it. You're all of it.
Well, that's it. I'm nothing and everything. That's what I keep hearing, and it just keeps going back and forth with that.
That's okay. Now ask it to look behind that into its heart essence.
Yeah, it's pretty wide, expansive.
Yeah. And can it notice it's still here? It hasn't lost anything, gone anywhere. Yeah, so just notice that. And then let it notice that because its main fear is if it relaxes, it'll disappear.
Right.
But
yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Here it is.
It
now,
says,
now, honor it. It's ever here-ness.
Ever here-ness.
Always here, always bright and shiny, intelligent. Doesn't have to have any files. It's like the sky mind. Big, vast, gorgeous.
Right, yeah, I understand. I honor. So there is no simultaneous reality with this. There's a shrinkage going on as well as
expansion. Yeah, so just the fact that you're aware of shrinkage and expansion points to that you're ever the same. You're not subject to that, right?
Right. Yeah, this is good.
Yeah, and just ask the mind if it could live here forever with occasional concerns. Could it just notice this is where it's already?
Yeah.
Ah, always here, ever the same.
I don't really want to do the other stuff, to be honest.
Yeah. No need, no need. Here is, can it also notice this is where the resolution is?
But who's,
why Papaji could
who's
say,
asking?
Huh?
Who's asking?
Well, intelligent life is asking itself. I wouldn't touch that who is asking, throw Advaita out the window for a second.
Right, no, I'm saying, isn't it my mind asking?
No.
I don't know Advaita. I just know I'm thinking the thought. Or maybe not. Yeah.
It's all one, right?
Right.
But just give the mind a kiss because it brought in a little spiritual conditioning. Who's asking? And just say, we're way past all the pointers now.
Okay.
We're just here checking it out, right?
Yeah.
Natural mind, natural presence.
That feels good.
Yeah. Thank you for staying with it and reassuring it. Because it was seeking this through clarifying the past, resolving the past, but it doesn't need to do that anymore.
Thank you.
Thank you, love.
Have a great day.
You too.
Hello, Pamela?
Yes?
Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay, wonderful. I actually called in with a report, but now what's happening is because of today's discussion, I've got some questions, or that's not true. I'm having a real aversion to the idea of firmness.
Interesting.
Yes, I've had it actually for almost every satsang I've sat on with you guys, and I'm pretty sure that I can see its origins. I mean, I have sat with it, but I guess it's just not resolved yet.
But agree with it, because it's saying it doesn't like the human version of that, which is harshness.
Okay.
Does that resonate?
Yes, it is the human version for sure.
Yeah, so we're definitely not talking about the human version, because that can go into harshness and then on into ugliness.
Yes.
Yeah, so tell it it's right. I agree. We don't like the human version of that for sure.
Yeah, yes.
So it's we're like, talking about the firmness that is in the forest.
Huh.
You know, that rooted here. Unmoving, and I'm sure big whales have it, and elephants. It's mountain firmness, so it has a tenderness in it. But it basically, I guess the word is more the unshakable, rooted, and that your body-mind wouldn't have an aversion to, right? Unshakable, rooted.
An image is coming of how very large animals, mothers, might, you know, use their bodies just to sort of nudge some, you know, their infant from harm's way, like, don't do something that's going to hurt you.
Yeah.
So that's the image that comes to mind. I'm trying to feel how that would be in my own life.
Well, if you just honor, find your word, since something doesn't like the firmness word, find a word that allows relaxation, and then call it forth, because it's just, even though presence doesn't really have qualities, it's a way of noticing qualities. In naturalness.
Mm-hmm. Gosh.
It could be natural strength, benevolent strength.
So how would that look for my morning nightmares if I were to be... how do I speak to that? How do I speak?
Okay, now, say again your what nightmares?
I have morning nightmares too, or flashes of violent projections when I wake up in the morning.
Okay, so is that from your past or from the group consciousness?
It's from both.
Okay, I'm glad you noticed that. And so basically it's trauma having its hand up in your satsang.
Yes.
And even though it doesn't seem like it's easy to liberate, it actually is, because trauma is innocence and presence as well. So
okay.
I like starting with where it's at, which is, I don't like that. I never want that to happen again.
Right.
And I just, yes, 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 yes. How natural it is not to like that. Of course, we never want that to happen again. And I honor its clear seeing. It sees ugliness and it sees the non-love. And so its view is very clear. Does that resonate?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think what happens is I might go quickly into a sort of, the other parts of my mind might be saying, oh, my God, these are terrible images. This must be stopped.
Yeah, but just agree with that, because it's also saying we don't like this.
Okay.
Yeah. So just honor the clear seeing in everyone. And ask the images what they're seeking. And what's the mind seeking through kind of this reviewing or regurgitating of ickiness? What is it seeking?
Usually it's telling me to always be prepared.
Oh, yeah. So it's, yeah. So thank it for that. Just agree. Yes, we don't want awareness to be so relaxed that it gets shocked or surprised or attacked again. I agree. I agree.
Yeah, I can see that the mind does seem to have a stereotype about oneness, that it won't do anything, I suppose.
Yes, it would be way too relaxed. Yeah. Oh, isn't it interesting? We're kind of back to the initial thing. Awareness, presence, is actually very responsive, and it's much more alert than the identified mind in terms of apparent threats or safety issues. Yeah. So we're just thanking everyone. It's like all the guards that were on high alert, honoring their clear seeing, their behind their function is also presence, life.
Yes, you know, often I can, when I do a journal, inner satsang journaling, and I do, it does. They do seem to remember who they are.
Yeah.
It's just they forget again or something.
But it's more we have to get down to that deep, it's almost like the first crystallization of consciousness where it decided it wasn't safe. It's like
right.
Innocence, which is the embodied consciousness, decided it wasn't safe. or it's not safe here, or I don't want to be here, whatever it decided in that moment. And it might not be in words, it might be like a just, and just going into the body and noticing it, and bowing to it so it can come out of its little cave.
Okay.
It just went on a retreat. It said, forget it, I'm not playing.
That's for sure.
Forget it, I'm on strike.
Yeah.
I'm staying in my cave, forget it, I'm never coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and honor its wisdom, because when it decided that, that was a good idea. So we're saying, yeah, that was very wise to retreat energetically, pull the vastness in, defend innocence. Yes, yes, yes. But would innocence like to know its bigness? Because if it was, you know, as big as the universe, then it could come out of its cave and play.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. I think the irony is that innocence does come out to play. It's as if there are very thick walls between when it feels safe and when it doesn't feel safe.
Yeah. But ask it if it would like to live a constancy of safety. Because it actually can. And just invite it to look behind safe, not safe.
Hello?
Yeah?
It's Bev. My cat decided to disconnect me.
That's all right. So behind safe and not safe.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're looking for something that doesn't come or go. So it needs to say that which is aware of the feeling of safe and not safe. But we're wanting to notice that it's where it's at, so to speak. And what's noticed behind safe, not safe? Even contracted, expanded.
Well, there's that kind of, it always feels like this sort of empty, pregnant blackness.
Gorgeous.
That is the spot where everything is given birth to.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you sense that's who you are? Just check it out. Because then you don't, then even the mind and all those protective apps can rest. If you're that big, gorgeous, luminous darkness, you're bigger than elephants and blue whales, and you're not subject to the opposites. We're just wanting to get that feeling in the body, because the body is already also that, and the mind. They were just playing roles. And what's noticed?
There was a feeling that I like of being anchored in my chest, as if an invisible anchor was, I suppose, the tie or the link between what's really real and then what's in front of what's real, which is that safety, unsafety, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it felt like an anchor, and, you know, like tying the shadow, like Peter Pan, like you're tying your shadow back to your body.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah, so just to that, yes, 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 let's live as this. Because you get to be all of it, which is so fun. You get to be human, divine, and none of the above. I think that's where animals are living. You know? The humans definitely explored the extremes of the opposites. And now we're all reporting, okay, that's not my deepest pleasure, you know? So can you sense that there's even the body responds and as deep relaxation when you root there? See, you were the missing link, because when we were in role play, we were pretending to be just these little human objects, and then all the apps had to really be on overdrive to protect us. But here, as this, whatever you want to call it, big, gorgeous, formless, life itself, everything relaxes, the body, the mind, innocence. Yeah?
Yes, yes.
Good. So thank you and your cat.
Thank you. I did have another question, but I can save it if I should, I will.
Okay.
It.
You could ask the luminous darkness, what so?
That's you mean offline?
Yeah,
offline.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. Okay, love.
Thank you.
Hello?
Yes?
Hello, Pamela?
My name is Drew.
Hi, Drew.
Hi. I have a follow-up question to what you've been discussing. I've been dealing with some heavy-duty physical issues in terms of a chronic pain problem.
Ooh.
And trying different medical treatments to resolve that so far without a great deal of success. And also just kind of the beginnings of a possible cancer scare. Although it's very, you know, kind of premature to believe that that's what's happening, but it's still enough to jolt me into the kind of like when Buddha saw the old person and the sick person and the corpse.
Yes.
I kind of feel like I'm really coming to terms with being, you know, being old and sick and the issue of death. So for me, it's not just, you know, kind of dreams and imagination, although maybe it is. But it's really dealing with what is happening to my physical form and that fundamental question of safety and unsafety. And I do feel like I'm pretty identified with my body and my mind and, you know, concerns about.
Get to the satsang, Drew. How's that? So bow to your body, because your body is the five elements pretending to be a human form. So if you honor your body, can you find that a sincere thanking of the body for a moment? Can you find that? Even if it's just thanking.
I'm not sure. because I do also feel frustrated with my body.
Okay, you know, so let's start with that.
Its limitations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So honor frustration as natural. Like all we're doing is like an inner bow, the way when you would walk down the street and you'd see somebody, you'd tip your head. So we're tipping our head, so to speak, to frustration and agreeing with it. Just yes, mm-hmm. yes, yes. The unlimited one doesn't like to feel limited, it's true. And does frustration like being honored or included?
Yeah, I think I resonated with what you were saying about the unlimited doesn't like to feel limited.
Yeah.
Because I am feeling limited, you know, by these physical issues. And so I hear you're saying that itself has a spiritual dimension to it, that I'm trying to get in touch with that part of me that is unlimited.
Yeah, but just if you're aware of limitation, that points to it's only the unlimited one that can be aware of limitation. So already you're viewing from your naturalness. Does that resonate? Already. The unlimited, unconditioned awareness is noticing it doesn't resonate with limitation. And we're just agreeing, I agree.
I guess my question is it's sort of a method question, which is if you would suggest particular ways to get, I guess you are, but to get more in touch with that unlimited self mm-hmm. that outruns all these experiences of limitation.
Yeah.
Is it through meditation? Is it through
oddly
sitting
enough,
quietly? And
we all have our unique ways through. For me, it's the, I got this from Papaji. He said somebody asked him to sum up his teachings, and he said to look within, approach everything with devotion and gratitude, and stay as heart. I find the most timeless way to liberate the body-mind, even to lighten any sensations of what we call illness. So go within, approach everything with devotion and gratitude. It's a very unusual thing because I was trying to fire everyone, all the services inside I didn't like. I was trying to get rid of them, and Papaji's invitation is approach them with devotion and gratitude.
Thank you.
Honoring frustration, honoring the mind, honoring even yourself, that innocent presence inside that's ageless, that's aware of aging. Yeah. And have some fun with it. Anything that moves, bow to it. And it's amazing. Your field will lighten up so much, and the body will, some vibrancy will come back, and then we can approach that with gratitude. Thank you, thank you.
I do have an image of myself as a young child.
Beautiful.
You know, kind of an innocent, fun-loving, open child.
Yes.
And I wonder, that's a human image, but I wonder if that is a, you know, a doorway to that sense of the ageless,
yes,
unlimited.
That's already, that's who you are. So can you just give some devotion and gratitude to that?
Mm-hmm.
That's your essence saying, hello, I'm here. I'm untouched.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, dear.
Hi, Pamela.
Hello.
Hello.
It's Liz in London.
Hello.
Hello.
It always amazes me on these calls how everything that everyone speaks of is exactly what's going on here.
Mm.
So, without going into all the story, what's present here right now is panic in the chest and really visceral fear in the belly. And I'm realizing that that fear is the fear of the non-existence of the self. And it's like it's not really mine.
Yeah. So it's scaring itself with the idea of non-existence.
Yeah, I've been having a strange time. I briefly, with the story, I fell over recently and fractured my pelvis.
Oh,
so I've been I've been forced to rest, and it's really made me realize that stillness wants my 100% attention. It doesn't just want, it doesn't want me part time. It wants me.
Yes,
it
you
wants
were
me
flirting
100.
With it. It wants you to go steady with it.
True. And so I'm sort of learning a completely new way of being. And it's a learning process. But what was being spoken of earlier, the dreams, is happening here. And last night I revisited the falling, the trip, when I tripped in the street, I fell on my hip. And last night I had the same sensation of that, sort of adrenaline panic and fear when, like in slow motion. When that's happening, and it's just, I've just really realized that it's actually, it's the fear of death, it's the fear of non-existence.
Yeah.
That's what's happening in my belly now.
Yeah, and it's asking you what's true. Because behind existence and non-existence. That's what's true, the unchanging.
And I sort of know that. I just feel, I'm a bit pissed off because I think, well, yeah, I know this.
But why am I getting this now? But it's your body mind. It's freedom is absolute.
Yeah.
So the instrument, the body mind now wants, hey, I wanna live that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just tell the body how wise it is.
Yeah, it's very wise. Sending me a fractured pelvis so I have to bloody well sit still for weeks.
Ouch.
Yeah. Very
and
annoying.
Maybe if it resonates, bow to the body and please forgive my disrespect or please forgive me treating you like an object.
Yeah. And my mind, and the mind actually, and I'm just really realizing how much conditioning, even more layers of conditioning of doing and the list of doing that's there that I don't even, you know, I'm just only really beginning to unravel it all and notice it so much.
Yeah. And here again, that bowing inside, thank you.
Yeah.
And then just invite existence and non-existence in. You're like Noah, and you're bringing all the opposites on board.
Yeah.
On board the ark.
Yeah. It's funny, my dad is really strongly with me when I'm doing this.
Oh,
and bless him. He was the one who taught me what he thought was the best way to live, which is to have the list in the head.
Yes.
And to pay attention to that. So it's like bowing to him to liberate him, though, even though he's physically passed.
Perfect.
So, It's like, thank you, Dad, but I think I'll go with this new way now, thanks.
Yeah, I will be listless.
Yeah. Well, I have been listless, literally.
That's very funny. I didn't hear that until you said it. Listless. Yeah. So neither listless nor listless. Behind both of those. It's just, you know, it's so great because we get weaned off of the clinging to doing. It's actually the mind, really, and a little bit the nervous system. Back into just pure being, which is actually incredibly practical and efficient. And there's nothing to do and everything gets done. It's amazing.
Yeah. So what has also been sent to me at the moment is work being done in my house, which is always a big trigger for me for anxiety and thinking that I have to sort of do everything and know everything.
Mm.
So it's really a real test of just doing what needs to be done and leaving everything else, like leaving things in one room that are all covered in dust and just cleaning the windows in another room. I'm really enjoying cleaning the windows, actually.
I thought you were on bed rest.
I know. Well, I'm getting better now, so you can't keep a good woman down for too long.
Yes.
So, yeah. Yeah, soothing the chest now, the existence and non-existence. So the existence of the dust and the non-existence of the dirty windows all at the same time. Yeah.
Yes, and there's no rush, my goodness. No rush.
Yeah. It's
very timeless and everything gets done. And.
Yeah. I was thinking of you, actually. I remember walking with you through Hampstead and wondering how on earth anybody could walk so slowly. And I was walking recently and realizing I'm going at Pamela pace because I have to. So it's a real lesson.
Yeah. Lovely to be with you, dear.
And you, my darling, thank you. I'm feeling soothed now. I just needed to voice some of that discomfort.
Yes, it's such an ancient worry the body-mind has about non-existence.
Yeah.
What we even call death, which is actually a delicious retreat, really.
Yeah, thank you. I feel soothed now. Beautiful cat time today, everybody. Thank you so much as well.
Yes.
Thank you, darling. Talk to you soon.
Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Hello, Pamela.
Yes.
It's another person from England. It's Kate again.
Hi, Kate.
Hello. It has been a fantastic satsang. I'm interested really, really in the snow history.
Yes.
That's really hit big for me. Really hit big. And they also, what I've always known is that everything will happen in its own right time and everything gets done.
Mm-hmm.
But, when I want to say try to act in that way, but that's not correct. When I act in a way, people get angry. Everybody around me gets angry and makes me doubt myself. So, for instance, just very quickly, say my mother, she was one of my abusers. And I want to have no history now. I want to be with her if I want to be with her. But everybody around me, my family and my partner and she's a terrible person. She did terrible things to you. You shouldn't have anything to do with her. And they're so angry with me. And they're like, they're almost going to disown me if I let go of the history.
Yeah, but sometimes as sages, we need to not share our inner process, so to speak.
Mm.
So they're rising up to protect you.
Yes, I understand
that. Yeah, so just in this moment, thank all those, you know, loyal, fierce protectors. Just, yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. And tell them all, you're right. You're right. Everybody loves to hear that. You're right.
It just makes, the trouble is then, it makes me totally question myself then. I totally lose
No. But you, each one of us is unique. So bring that doubt. We definitely want to liberate doubt because otherwise it will always offer its services.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, doubt. We're just following our resonance.
It makes me laugh. It's making me laugh. In a nice, in a good way.
Yeah, and then, so what's here now?
Well, I feel this, you know, this explosion of stars, you know, like that, this just explosion of creation thing that people say, this blackness that's kind of pregnant with the explosion of creation.
Mm.
And it's just, you know, exciting and just, you know, potential of, and yummy.
Yeah. So it has no history, right?
No, but then, for instance, I have a children from a partner that I'm not living with,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, what is their progression, educational progression, for instance, and I know that it's going to be okay. It doesn't matter. But I just get anger thrown at me. And it's like, when are you going to do it? What are you going to do? What even you should be
doing?
But
that's, you know, it's always convincing it's coming from outside. And it, I'm not saying it's not. But especially if we have spiritual tendencies, and I don't know if this is true, but it feels like, especially women, we have completely not included natural anger or natural strength. So what will happen is everybody around us will have to display that because we're not including it.
Mm-hmm.
We generally have an aversion to it because we want to be harmless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So, where we get stuck is if we attend to all the circumstance and the situation rather than going to the root. So the root is to welcome for you, welcome anger into your field as big strengths. So it's natural not to like the human version.
Mm.
So we honor that natural not to like the human version. But can you feel any volcano in you?
What has happened, and it's just happened, like a couple of weeks ago, is I felt pushed so far by everybody's anger with me that I exploded.
That's right.
But I then was horrible.
Yeah, but that's the nature of a volcano.
I was really horrible and said horrible things. And things that hurt people and...
Yeah, so that's the human version. It's like a tea kettle that all of a sudden explodes. Yeah, so just agree, yes, natural not to like the human. expression of anger, natural not to like that. But can you get a sense there's a lot of strength in it?
I can feel that.
You can? Yeah. So tell it its natural strength is welcome here. Because we're trying to fire all our strengths because it's displaying as anger. Natural strength is welcome here.
So when I have said inside, I bow to the divinity in the other person, I ask forgiveness if I've disrespected their feelings, I invoke grace, knowing that this will be resolved.
Yes, yes, yes. But hold on a second. Just for a moment, don't be spiritual, because that's going to irritate people.
It is?
Oh, yeah, they get so irritated, because we're not being real. You know, we're using spirituality as a survival strategy, almost. If I'm all loving, they won't kill me, kind of thing. Now, we all did this, yeah? And people would just get madder and madder at us.
Yeah.
We're wondering, I'm so innocent and pure and I'm bowing to everybody, and why I walk into a room, why are they all upset?
I don't kind of think I'm innocent and pure or I'm perfect or anything. I worry, like, how about my kid? And then I think, no, I know it's going to be okay and he just needs his own time. But then everybody's furious with me. And
no,
I'm
no,
like,
no, no, no. Don't see, the mind wants you to fixate on what we think is happening.
My fear is with myself.
So you overlook that anger is presenting itself in your satsang and it's demanding that you be with it. You see? And it wants to give you a gift. It wants to give you your big strengths back. And then nobody honestly will mess with you.
I can't believe it.
I know, but when we become sweeter and sweeter and nicer and nicer and nicer, we actually irritate everybody. So just for a moment, welcome anger. It's sort of like the not jolly green giant that's entered your satsang hall. And it's stomping around, you know. And just welcome, welcome. So sorry I have been ignoring you and wanting to fire you and etc. And let it know its strength is welcome here. And you can be honest with it and tell it, gosh, you know, you scare me or...
There's a fear of it being wrong.
Fear of being, I missed the last word.
There's a fear of anger being wrong.
Oh, that's right. Yes, and just agree with that. Yes, the human version is... Tell it you're right.
Okay.
Everything has partial truth in it. You're right. Human version, we don't like it.
Nah. I don't like to receive it and I don't like to give it.
That's right. But the reason we don't like it is because its nature is imbalanced because, you know, half of humanity is using it for personal agenda and the other half has an aversion to it, trying to fire it. So anger is getting more and more frustrated, going, ah!
It's such a big thing in group consciousness, isn't it? It's so huge at the moment. It's like...
Yes.
And we've got sort of the elections coming up in our country, and this huge, all over the news is this arguing and anger and
people. So this is why sages finally, we want to sit with it, because it's ready. Anything that's making such a big show, it just means it's ready to come home. It's like if you had a satsang and they were jumping up and down in the front row, you would know, wow, they are so ready. Go get right to it. Touch anger's feet and say, please forgive me for not knowing who you were. Please forgive me for not knowing who you were. And ask it, and by the way, who are you?
Just like, it's like honey, like nectar, like sweetness.
Ah, what a surprise. The big bad wolf turns out to have a heart of gold. And just thank you, thank you, thank you. And now invite it to unveil its rooted strength, to root. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And ask it how big it is, because we want it to uncontain itself fully, because then it's the lion of God rather than a cranky circus lion.
It's odd. It's like a huge soundless sound. Does that sound strange?
Gorgeous. Yeah, and it's relaxed, right? And it doesn't have any teeth bearing or claw extension, right?
No.
Natural strength. Completely neutral and oddly enough benevolent. Is really weird. And can you let it have all the room it wants in your field? Because it's designed to carry innocence, so innocence can rest.
Yeah,
you can really trust what's making a big show in our field, you know. It just means it's ready to know itself. It's not coming to perturb us or bother us or limit us. Just asking, be with me. Be with me.
Yeah. I can see that.
Very nice. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Pamela.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. One of my favorite images is the one of a forest sage just sitting, resting, surrounded by all the wild animals, also at rest. Such a confirmation of who we are, nature itself, life itself. Everything included, equally honored. So thank you everyone for joining us. Thank you for speaking and being silent, all one. Thank you for sharing what you notice and for your ongoing respect and willingness to be with whatever's coming to sit. So just returning the hosting of our gathering back to Kate of East Bay Open Circle.
Thank you, Pamela. Thank you, everyone. Pamela will be joining us again on Sunday, April 19th. As well as in May on the 17th and 31st. And you can register for those, as always, on our website at opencirclecenter.org. We look forward to you joining us again. And we can go ahead and unmute yourselves. We can say our hellos and goodbyes and look forward to meeting you all here again. So go ahead if you would like, and you can press star 6 to unmute.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, Pamela. Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you,
Pamela. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pamela, and thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Pamela, and everyone.
So much love.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, Pamela. Bless you.
Devotion and gratitude. Thank you.
Devotion and gratitude. Yes! Sweet. Big love. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Pamela. Till next time, everyone, I will go ahead and end the call.
Thank you, Kate.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.